Revelation Revealed, Part 4, Section 60, The Woman and the Beast. Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 through 11. Now, once again, I refer you to my written commentary. I go into more detail there on other ways to view these verses. In my audio commentary here, I'm just going to state how I presently lean. And I say presently lean because this is a confusing part of Revelation. Verse 9 says, "This calls for a mind with wisdom." It certainly does. I'm not claiming to have such wisdom. "The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings." Now, the seven heads, according to the NIV, seems to be hills and also kings. Some Greek scholars say because of the Greek text here, it's not really two separate things as in hills and kings, but as it's one thing as in hills upon which kings sit. Five kings have fallen. One is, another has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven. Now remember, the way I view the book of Revelation is I believe that John has been transported by the Spirit into the day in which these prophecies are being fulfilled. John is not just sitting on the Isle of Patmos receiving the vision. He's been transported into the future from his day. Now here in verse 10 and 11, it tells us the timeline of where we are in the vision. Note verse 10 says, five kings have fallen. So they're already gone. One is, so that means there's a sixth king that presently rules. The other has not yet come. He's a seventh king. But when he does come, meaning the seventh king, he must remain for a little while, just a short time. Verse 11 says, the beast, who is the Antichrist, we know that, who once was and now isn't, is the eighth king. So what John sees here, he sees the beast who once was but now isn't. Now the beast in the first half of the tribulation is an ordinary man. Remember, he gets a fatal wound, he dies, and then he is resurrected, and in the resurrection, Satan incarnates him and becomes a satanic power for the second 3.5-year period, the last half of the tribulation. So the eighth king is the Satan-inspired Antichrist. The seventh king is Antichrist without Satan. That's how I see this at the present. Verse 11 also says that the eighth king belongs to the seven. Now, we don't know if they say the first five kings reign one after another or simultaneously. It could go either way. But whatever the case, the Antichrist, when he is inspired by Satan, is some kind of product of the previous kings. And the text then says he will go to his destruction, which means when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth, that's the end of the Antichrist.